From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Sound of a community drawing together in grief as hundreds gathered for a memorial mass at a Catholic church in Tucson, Arizona. Bishop Gerald Kakana says there's been an outpouring of love and support following the shooting rampage.
We are grateful for the world's support, for their concern, for their love at this difficult time.
One of the victims of the shootings, 9-year-old Christina Taylor Green, was a member of the church. President and Mrs. Obama are traveling to Tucson today. NPR's Ari Shapiro reports they'll be attending a memorial service there this evening.
The University of Arizona is hosting this memorial service in honor of the victims and family members in the shooting that killed six people and injured more than a dozen last weekend. The event is open to the public. In addition to President Obama's message of unity, other speakers include state and federal lawmakers, students, and the university president. The event will include a Native American blessing, a moment of silence, a poetry reading, and the presentation of a chain featuring messages from members of the public. President Obama has said he wants to speak to our hopes for the future and how out of this tragedy we can come together as a stronger nation. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, The White House.
Doctors in Tucson say they're now confident that Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords will survive the gunshot wound to her brain. Dr. Peter Ree is trauma chief at University Medical Center.
I think that she has a 101% chance of surviving. She will not die. She does not have that permission from me. And as far as a vegetative state, I don't think she'll be a vegetative state at all.
Ree says Giffords can move both arms and can breathe on her own, although a breathing tube is being kept in place as a precaution. Hundreds of FBI agents investigating the life of the man charged in the Tucson shootings, Jared Loughner. NPR's Dina Temple-Raston says police were reportedly dispatched on more than one occasion before the attack to the home where Loughner lived with his family.
Investigators tell NPR they're trying to understand what motivated Loughner to lash out. Loughner, who hasn't entered a plea in the case, has refused to cooperate with authorities, so agents are having to piece together his life on their own. They're seeking to interview anyone who's been in contact with him over the past 3 to 5 years. Officials say the investigation is likely to continue for weeks, if not months. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News.
It's been 1 year today since the earthquake that devastated the capital of Haiti, killing 250,000 people. Paul Weisenfeld, a former coordinator for the U.S. Agency for International Development, says cholera remains a problem there.
The international community has thrown lots and lots of resources at it. We still have over 3,600 deaths since October 22nd.
Weisenfeld says hundreds of thousands of people in Haiti are still living in camps where sanitation is minimal. This is NPR News from Washington. The floodwaters in Australia are now swamping neighborhoods in the country's third largest city, Brisbane. The muddy water is reaching the tops of roofs and traffic lights in some areas. The premier of hard-hit Queensland state, Anna Bligh, told Australia Broadcasting a dam on the rain-swollen Brisbane River cannot control the flooding.
We are, I think, being protected as much as any dam can protect you, but dams don't stop floods. They protect and make it less serious than it would have been.
Bligh says at least 20,000 homes in Brisbane are in danger of being inundated. The U.S. Supreme Court hears arguments today in a case that could make it significantly easier for police to force their way into a home without a warrant. NPR's Nina Totenberg reports the case stems from an incident in Kentucky where police, who were pursuing a drug suspect, knocked on the door of an apartment where they thought they smelled marijuana.
After loudly identifying themselves, police heard noise inside and, fearing the destruction of evidence, broke down the door. There they found Hollis Deshaun King smoking marijuana. Though King was not the suspect police were pursuing, he was charged with various drug offenses. The Kentucky Supreme Court ruled that the drugs found in the apartment could not be used as evidence against King because police had no warrant. The state court said police can enter without a warrant in emergency circumstances, but here the only emergency was created by police knocking on the door without probable cause to believe a crime was occurring. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
The storm system that pounded the South is now causing problems for commuters and travelers up and down the East Coast. New York City could get a foot of new snow, the third major storm there in as many weeks. Airlines have been preemptively canceling hundreds of flights today. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News, in Washington.